an excerpt of Sketches, a new work for jazz violin and orchestra, composed and performed by Joe Kennedy Jr. with the Richmond Symphony Orchestra. I'm Nancy Wilson, and it's NPR's Jazz Profiles, the jazz violin from past to present. Throughout the 1950s, while bebop and cool jazz held sway, swing violinists kept working around the world. Ray Nance was fiddling with Duke Ellington. Papa John Creech played electric violin blues. And Remo Biondi was breaking into rhythm and blues with Roosevelt Sykes. Soon, Jerry Goodman and Richard Green would explode into rock and roll violin. Collective improvisation, unusual meters, modal music inspired by the music of India, electronics. These were the sounds of modern jazz in the 70s. And violinist Leroy Jenkins, Michael White, and later Billy Bang would stretch the limits of jazz violin. They built new sounds based on textures and rhythms rather than melodic phrases. Leroy Jenkins.
There's a certain amount of uncharted territories the improviser has to deal with when he's playing. I go after the sound, it's in my head, you know, and I try to reproduce it. I mean, I have the nerve or the audacity or whatever you want to call it to move in these areas on the violin directly from my head. And, you know, when you do that, then you're making a commitment. That makes you improvise.
Leroy Jenkins and his group Sting in 1984, Static in the Attic. With electric violins and guitars, bass and drums, Jenkins has been updating the old string band model that dates back to the 1800s. Quartets like Black Swan, Soldier String Quartet, Kronos, Turtle Island, and the Uptown String Quartet have also experimented with the old concept of the violin's role in a string setting. They draw on influences from Bach to the blues. Soldier String Quartet director and founder, David Soldier.
The kind of mixture of different styles that people are doing these days with these different string bands and string quartets, including my own group, the Soldier String Quartet, goes way back into the 1920s and 30s in American culture when the popular music of many different sorts, jazz and country music and blues and all these different styles were always cross-pollinating each other.
Bo Diddley, David Soldier with the Soldier String Quartet.
Bo silly boat away, your son. Up on a hill now, beating his drum. Beat so hard, the police come. Police, police, don't arrest me. Get that man behind that tree. Down in the jailhouse on his knees.
Bo Diddley, performed by the Soldier String Quartet. Turtle Island String Quartet was the first string group to take the classical quartet format of two violins, viola, and cello, and make it work in a jazz context. They invented new bow techniques to create rhythmic accompaniments to solos without percussion. They also turned to jazz literature that had never been used by string players. Here's Turtle Island performing John Coltrane's Naima. Thank you. John Coltrane's Naima, the Turtle Island String Quartet. The Uptown String Quartet is a newer group with members from two proud jazz families. Maxine Roach, daughter of drummer Max Roach, plays viola. And from trumpeter Clark Terry's family, violinist Lisa Terry.
It's a very exciting thing when the Uptown String Quartet has an opportunity to perform because we can bring to the stage our history, our culture, our pain, our jubilation, everything that we as four African American women have wanted to say for a long time but never had a way to say it.
Jazz violinist Lisa Terry. Parker's Moose the Mooch, written in 1946, performed half a century later by the Uptown String Quartet. In 50 years, the jazz violin has gone from swing to bebop and well beyond. To new age, fusion, and world music. Yet in all these forms, it retains the essence of its identity, improvisation, and its roots in the blues. Jazz violinist John Blake Jr.
I think that jazz or jazz improvisation, or improvisation period, is growing within the string community. And I think it's very exciting because more and more players now who are more or less classical based are pursuing improvisation to either use as a totally different way of expressing themselves or to incorporate it within their own material, making up their own cadenzas.
John Blake Jr. started with the classics and a study of Indian violin. But it was his years as a sideman with modern jazz pianist McCoy Tyner that catapulted him into a new realm of jazz improvisation.
Certainly, improvisation has been incorporated in classical music many years ago, but it's been an art that has more or less been pushed to the background. But I think now we're going to see a resurgence of that and resurgence of interest from classical players wanting to improvise.
Today we have a whole generation of players who have studied and mastered the jazz violin styles of their predecessors and gone on to forge new possibilities on the instrument. Randy Sabin typifies this marriage between history and the future. Jazz Violin From Past to Present was produced by Murray Street Enterprise for NPR's Jazz Profiles. Writer-producer, Julie Lyon Lieberman. Senior producer, Steve Rath. Post-production engineering by Rick Bradley at Frog Pond. Our thanks to Russ Dantzler, Lewis Porter, John Reeves, Anthony Barnett, Arlene Smith, John Blake Jr., Joe Kennedy Jr., Claude Williams, Lisa Terry, Gary Giddens, and David Soldier. Technical assistance from NPR's New York and Los Angeles bureaus and BBC Radio, Brighton. The Jazz Profile series is produced by Tim Owens. Executive producers are Mary Beth Kirshner and Murray Horwitz. For more information about Jazz Profiles, this program, and a listing of future programs in the series, look for NPR's homepage on the World Wide Web at npr.org. That's npr.org. Major support for Jazz Profiles comes from the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund, helping people to make the arts part of their everyday lives. Additional support has been provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Nancy Wilson, saying jazz is as pure as the life we live. So live it. This is NPR, National Public Radio.